So we are very enthusiastic about the change into is that politely said? I think because of the way it will help our students with financial need. In the past, the wonderful things about the scholarship certainly helped us. I think the powerful effects of educating high school students about what they need to be able to be successful and getting people on that path was very good and very timely. Where we see, I think, the real opportunity now is this sort of Pell Plus space to really help our students who have financial need with a boost to help them make college possible and more affordable. The ability to integrate and for the university to know where those dollars are being used and for which students allows us to more strategically use the scholarship dollars that we have. That integration of information of who's getting what kind of scholarship is very powerful and very helpful and allows us to more effectively use the resources that we have. A big trend at the U, I'm not sure if we put that poster, it is up, has been to raise money for scholarships and to use the scholarship dollars we have strategically. There is very little effectiveness when you pile all the scholarship dollars on a small number of students, but instead being able to very strategically apply for access, achievement, and completion is a powerful thing. And the new approach will allow us to do that more effectively.
Do you have any numbers crunched in anticipation of that?
I don't think we do at this point. I think we are not quite to the ready on that yet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I've got a question. Just looking at the equity merit salary piece, the $2.5 million, $2.6 million, can you talk a little about any observations you have about the challenges with attracting and retaining faculty and kind of are you seeing it in specific fields and a little about the process that you went through in arriving at $2,586,500. It's a very, very precise number.
Yes. So this is a very important area for the institution, and we know that our faculty, because of the success we've achieved, because of the fact that we've become a place that people really want to come from around the country, we are also a place that other institutions are looking for talent. So this is kind of a pressing issue, and the same, I just came from Seattle, and one of the things that I did while I was there was an alumni event. And so many people in Seattle are working in the tech industry, and they are talking about what are we doing to produce more tech grads? How are we producing more engineering grads? And of course, they're trying to do many of the same things that we are, and they're trying to attract the same faculty that we're trying to attract in engineering, in computing, in data science. Many institutions around the country in health professions are trying to recruit from a talent base. So yes, there are particular areas where we see a lot of pressure. I can also tell you that we have humanities faculty that are receiving offers from Columbia and places like Columbia. We're in an active retention case. Dan is actively in a retention case right now. So it is, yes, it is in certain fields, but it's not restricted to that. So as we try to think about how to strategically use dollars for both, you know, basic salary needs and making up that extra 25%, and where we have particular areas of equity and salary compression and pressure, we do work closely with the deans. Dan and Kathy really and Mark have led that effort to assess from the deans where they have their greatest retention pressures, how we begin to model how can we use resources to keep people. I will say that we see this at all ranks. We see the hiring of assistant professors where some of our areas have not been competitive with market. And that's where we see particular pressures in areas like data science and analytics, that everybody is trying to increase their quantitative capacity. So there's, what do we do to set the bar? So we get that information from our departments and our deans. And then there's, where do we have compression? There are lots of people who have been loyal and stayed with the University of Utah and built their careers that haven't gone out for competitive offers, that we need to attend to that and reward them before they go out for a competitive offer at UW or someplace else. And so our deans and chairs are pretty active in helping us take our best guess at modeling where they see the greatest pressures and the areas in which we want to focus.
I'm looking at the six items up there. If we were just to take the last five, we leave the top one out. If we were to say this year, you know, we won't fund those and we just did compensation, what implications would that have? Would students notice? I mean, we're talking about students' dollars here. They're, you know, about the crushing student debt, the rapid rise of tuition in this country. It's kind of an epidemic. Students stepped up, really. The legislature gave $150 to $170 million of one-time funds to build facilities on our higher education campuses, and then about $96 million in ongoing funding. And now we're faced with the question of how do we justify another $20 million coming from students, half of which is presented here. So how would students feel if none of those five items were there? The top one, I think I know what the answer would be, but how would you answer that? Would they notice if we weren't doing data analytics? How would it affect their everyday life?
Yeah. So I think our students would definitely notice, and I think you would too. And I know I would. And the pressure would not be favorable for the institution or the state. If you think about the life of a student and watching our top achieving faculty go out the door for a competitive offer at another institution because of that additional merit capacity was not there in the institution, I know that we would see it. And we would probably see it the most here in terms of research capacity and what our faculty is doing. But I know we would also see it here. And I think if we're not able to continue to make those investments in student success, in knowing who needs assistance and when they need it, in providing the advising and academic supports that they need, it would be difficult to sustain that wonderful upward trajectory that we have had. I feel quite certain that our students would know it. I also think that we certainly are at a time in the institution when our awareness of the need to invest in safety education and training is very high. We know we want to do that. Our students want us to do that. We've heard that from students, faculty, and staff alike. In some of the other areas, like maintenance, I think as Regent Campbell pointed out, that's probably my successor who's going to notice it if we don't make some of those investments now. But I know that a dollar not spent today on maintenance turns out to be many more dollars in the future. And I think in terms of workforce, I believe that our students would definitely notice that right away. We have certain areas that we've been able to invest in because of workforce support, like the engineering initiative. The unfunded mandate of the engineering initiative is the 60 hours that every engineer takes in math and science as they become an engineer. So resources to support STEM in general and other urgent fields that are not covered, like psychology or clinical psych, where we have certainly pressing needs in society, I think those are noticeable to students as well. It's a good question.
Thank you. Yes, Regent Nutter.
So expanding on the question that Regent Wright just asked, yes, there is a big conversation about continuous rise in tuition, increasing debt on students. Where would you find efficiencies if you were to look at it to offset this?
So two comments, and thank you for reminding me of one part of Regent Wright's question because I meant to get to that. If I might comment on the rising student debt, I think when we look at the University of Utah and the state of Utah, our students are remarkably responsible and pretty debt averse. We see very low debt rates among our students, and we also see very low default rates. And I think those are important points to point out. As you look at the national landscape, that story is not played out the same way in the state of Utah and at the University of Utah. We have also been sensitive to this as we have designed our own creative program designed as an income share equity-based model, where a pool of investors and donors are helping us create a model to help our students more efficiently over the finish line that are close to degree completion. So with sensitivity to some of these issues, both about relatively low debt rates and the fact that our students are taking too long to finish, in some ways, using capacity is more, and getting across the degree finish line is more to their advantage. So we've tried to design a program to help us do that. As we look for efficiencies in the institution, we have implemented a number of things at the institution that have helped us with efficiencies. Certainly, things that are good in both in terms of efficiency and good in terms of the environment, energy efficiency and energy savings. Some of our physical plant issues, the kinds of investments we've made in things that may seem trivial, like fume hoods and research labs that ultimately consume an enormous amount of energy, and making them more energy efficient is leading to energy efficiency and cost savings. So there are a variety of administrative areas and utility areas that are really helpful in producing savings. We have also asked every college to look at their opportunities to reallocate. Kathy and Dan, very instrumental in that area, in terms of asking our deans, rather than assuming that every faculty position, when someone leaves or retires, needs to go right back where it is, having a process where those dollars come back to the college and the college makes a very strategic decision about how and where to use those funds. So there's both the variety of savings efforts and those kind of reallocation efforts in progress. Thank you. It's a great point. As you know, one of our big themes and great potential at the University of Utah is our capacity to think and act more like one university instead of a large academic medical center with a health science operation and a comprehensive research campus with undergraduates. And I think what we are really pushing the 1U agenda, partially because it's such a unique thing about the institution. There's only about 20 or 25 institutions like us that have all those features on the same physical footprint. Because of that, it allows us to look very thoughtfully at some things that we may have done less efficiently. So if health sciences has a communication team and main campus has a communication team, that might not be the most efficient and it also might not be the most effective. We are one university, and the capacity to think about integrating those operations, both for effectiveness and for efficiency, is an effort in progress at the institution.
Just to Regent Wright's question, being on the R&R team, I would just like to add, when you look at this graph here, we're going from, you know, this significant increase from 55% to 70% completion. If you didn't have those kinds of investments, you wouldn't see that kind of improvement. And so I think that, in a sense, this track record verifies the ability of the institution to make investments, because we see the returns. And so I think it's tough to always, in a dollar and cents, you know, prove every dollar, but certainly I think all the recognitions, both on the research, on the graduation rates, and just standing across the country, is probably evidence of money that's being invested, and there is a return. So
if I could just add one thing to that. Those numbers, you're absolutely right. Those numbers have gone up dramatically over the last few years, and I could say this, but she deserves a lot of credit for that. But that's not where we want to rest on our laurels. We have more headroom, and going to school part-time or not finishing is an incredibly expensive thing to do. If you finish 90% of a degree, you do not have 90% of the earning potential. It's almost a binary thing. And so all of these activities to try to push students over the edge, the income share program, thinking about students who are landlocked, who can't come back to the U, they're all about trying to drive those numbers up. Because every year you don't finish a degree, those are lifetime earnings, not deferred, but lost forever. And so it has a huge effect on students. And that's why these things make a difference.
I think the important point that you're getting to here is we want that six-year graduation rate to be 80%. We need, I think you, our students, need that from the university. We're very pleased with what we've accomplished, and we're not done. That needs to continue for the good of the state of Utah and for our student body. The kinds of investments we've been able to make have really helped us along the way. And I have to say that it's hard to not look at this slide and imagine what kinds of investments we could make if our tuition rate were equal to the next closest peer in the Pac-12. So I think that it is for the purpose of ensuring that we can continue on that trajectory that we really seek the tuition increases that we seek.
Very good. Other questions? I mean, it strikes one thing just striking me that it's not unlike the discussions we've had about the college access advisors. That, you know, this upfront investment in getting people into the system and through the system have incredible impact. And I mean, there's probably a little bit of drag created by, you know, increases the cost. I mean, it's built into tuition, and that is a little bit of creates a little bit of a headwind, but not nearly to the extent that the benefit that this is going to provide students. I mean, I think it's very exciting what you've been able to accomplish and what you're aspiring to do. Other comments or questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
We're now going to invite, we have some student leaders, student body presidents who are with us, and also our student regent, Jaquel Larson, and she's going to tee this up and invite them to participate. So we'll turn the time over to you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So I could thank you, first off, to all of the wonderful presidents for your presentations today. I think it's very enlightful for us as regents and then as well for the public. But I get to announce and put up the lineup for my favorite part of today, which is with our student body presidents. Our student body presidents, they meet every single month, as you guys know, on the Utah Student Association Board. They're constantly talking about the threats on our campus, on their campuses, the exciting, eventful, and insightful new innovations on their campuses and what students need. They've been talking about tuition and student fees for months. And so I'm really excited to have each one of them come up to you today and talk just a brief 1 to 2, 3 minutes maybe, a piece on how their institution has come to their tuition and student fee increase or proposals. I know student fees weren't proposed till tomorrow, but we have them here, and I think that they are truly our experts, and so I would really like all of us to engage with them on that front as well. So we're going to start with our Salt Lake Community College president and go through the line. We are missing three of our presidents today, and so after the ones that are present are here to speak, I will come up and give a brief note as well on behalf of those other three campuses. If any of you have questions, I do encourage you to ask them. They're well prepared, and like I said, they are experts on the subject as they pay tuition as well. So if without further ado, Junior, I'll start.
Hello, Regents. My name is Junior Martinez. I'm the Student Association President here at Salt Lake Community College. I would like to begin by saying thank you. Thank you for letting us come and voice our students. Also, Salt Lake Community College loves to host you, so please keep coming back. So this year, I had the opportunity to be a part of the Student Fee Board. We conducted work for about 2 months, and the Student Fee Board met with Student Fee Budget Center managers, and they wrote summaries about their findings. The summaries were reviewed and discussed prior to presentations made by those managers, and they were 30-minute presentations followed by a question and answer session. The presentations took over a 4-day period, and then on the 5th day, we took some time to deliberate. That time was about 5 hours, long 5 hours, and we recommended a 3.8 or a $9 increase for student fees, which is a total of $246 for a full-time student. The proposed increase will continue to support student access to quality and affordable medical care, mental health and counseling, and health education. Included are also services that allow students to access the entire Utah network for transportation and affordable childcare services. Our students have requested funding for a new gender and sexuality students resource center as well, and the fee board was more than happy to help fund that. So we've recommended a $2 increase to in that effort. During the March 7th meeting, Truth in Tuition hearing, President Hufflin explained the possible range of tuition increases that students may be affected by, and students had the opportunity to ask questions about the college priorities and also how the new funding would be allocated. Based on the feedback we received at the forum and from those students who texted questions from our multiple locations, because we had a live stream that day, the Executive Council and I feel very comfortable supporting that increase, and that is a proposed 2% increase. So I'm here today to ask for your support for our recommendations. I think our students will be very benefited by these increases, and I believe that the administration did the best job that they could to provide us with the knowledge, the context, and the time to allow us to think of these reasonable increases as far as tuition goes. So thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions about the process and about how our students feel about it.
Okay, any questions? Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Were there any students that voiced concerns? I mean, it sounds pretty unanimous with the student body presidents. I just got an email from all of them saying, you know, singing Kumbaya, which is always nice to see in today's world. But was anybody raised any concerns? I mean, did anybody dissent? Did you have anyone?
Yeah, I mean, one of the concerns that was raised that, I mean, it's reasonable. Students were asking, well, this is a community college, and you have to understand that our students don't have a lot of money, so why keep raising the tuition, you know? And, I mean, you have to understand that, yes, living expenses do go up, but there are also these other students that need even more help than some of the students who are currently attending. And so by paying those fees, we're able to help and extend that net of support to everybody.
Okay, any other questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning or afternoon, Regents and Presidents. I am Jared Devy. I am the student body president at Snow College. And first, I'll talk a little bit about our tuition changes. So there is that employee compensation factor and our ISF rates. But something that I found really important about the tuition was that we agreed to increase our tuition for our general scholarship fund. And every single student in our truth and tuition hearing agreed that we should increase tuition to help other students get scholarships, which I thought was remarkable, and I thought that was just the spirit of Snow. And then something else is we also increased our student fees from $208 to $213 a semester, so a $5 increase for our graduation fee, because the way it was set up before is there was a $25 fee and then a $25 late fee. And what we found is that about 65% of students roughly were not applying before the deadline. So that $25 fee became $50. And so now, with this $5 fee that every student's going to pay into, it will be a total of $20 by the time they finish a four-year or four-semester degree. And it saves them $5 if they made it on time and essentially $30 if they were late. So, yeah. Do you guys have any questions for me?
I have a question.
Yes, question.
Yep. I'm going to ask you the hard question because Snow is, I'm the R&R team for Snow. So, I mean, I've been on the region almost 11 years, and on all those years, I've been comfortable with the tuition that's been charged in our institutions, other than I would like to have seen our community colleges get a bigger percentage of state funding to be able to drop theirs. Anyway, and I feel like that my own four children got a great deal for what they paid for their educations. But no matter what seems to happen, we get beat up about tuition costs in our state. So, like, what can we do about that? How can we because obviously you know we keep hearing everybody was supportive, but then it's constant that our tuition's too high. So that's a really hard question for you, but it's really true. Like, what can the Regents do to be proud of our tuition and proud of what we offer and just be able to not get the constant criticism?
Wow. I don't know how to answer that 100%, but I will be honest. I think that all the Regents and the state of Utah should be proud about their tuition. I'm not 100% sure on how to keep the costs low, but I mean, we do have the third or second lowest tuition out of the whole United States, which I think is remarkable, but I mean, one of the only ways to really lower tuition that I can see is to increase the government's involvement, which is a little bit interesting with how much money it goes into higher education. So I don't know if that answers your question.
That's actually a great answer.
Okay, very good. Thank you very, very much. We'll go on to the next.
Thank you.
President.
Hello. It's great to see all of you here, and I would like to personally thank you for being here today. It's been a long day. I was here a little bit late, but I'm ready to go out and run a mile or something. But I am very grateful for this opportunity. And to answer Regent Tyer's question, I think we need to take a page out of President Mortensen's book of Louder and Prouder. I think it's important that we really are transparent and open about the process and let students and the people of Utah know that we are trying to make these decisions. We're trying to figure out what we can do to lower the cost of tuition. I think transparency goes into play, and also being loud and proud that we do have some of the lowest tuition in the state, in the nation, and I think we need to be proud of that, and I think we need to let people know, because sometimes we have to push it in their face if we want them to see it. So I think that's my answer to that question. So we have had a great process this last 6 months. I do a really fun event called Taters with Slater. So my last name is Slater, obviously. And I feed potatoes or any type of potato or tater, whatever, to the students. And it's super fun because I have the opportunity to talk to so many different students all throughout campus. I go to each of the different colleges, each of the different buildings, and hear what students have to say. And there, of course, is always concerns, but something that President Mortensen and the other administration have taught me is that you have to be transparent in the way that we speak and the way that we help students understand, and I feel that that is why the students of Weber State are so supportive of this 2% increase that we are proposing, and why I am so supportive, because I understand and I know where everything is going. We had a great Truth in Tuition meeting a couple weeks ago. We paired it with the Student Senate, and we had a lot of great support, and of course questions were asked, and I feel like our administration and Brad in specific were very transparent in the way that they have explained why the tuition increase is important. And I love Weber State, and I know that all the students at Weber State love Weber State as well, and so I hope that you do support our decision to ask for the 2% increase. But I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that any of you may have as well.
Yes, Regent Jones.
Thank you. It's interesting hearing all of you saying that, you know, you support all of this, which I appreciate that too.
Yeah, of course.
I'm wondering if you have, the students in your areas have had any engagement with your local legislators about this. And, you know, not just them, but the, you know, the communities, you know, are you making an effort to go out there? Because really, I think we're all around here just going, here, we agree with that. Part of it's a communication issue, I believe, but to hear it from students, whereas your fees are being increased, and having you tell your stories about the benefits that you will receive, as well as the citizens that will receive those kinds of benefits. Have you had that engagement, and do you plan to do that?
Yeah, so I think that's something that we can work on a lot, obviously, but we I participated personally in going down to the Capitol and meeting with state legislators, and I went to a couple of the Regents sessions and listened, but also students from Weber State and from all the other universities throughout the state of Utah, we participated in Higher Ed Day, where we were able to go and lobby, in a sense, and talk with our local legislators. And it was something that Utah State, specifically Jaron Hunsaker, has worked on this year in specific, is he encouraged all of the participants who went to Higher Ed Day to reach out to our Utah State legislators before we went down, so that we could just say, hey, my name's Jordan, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we're trying to accomplish, this is what is concerning us, and then let them know, hey, we're coming down to the legislative session on this day or whatever. Also, this last Monday, we met with the mayor of Ogden, Mayor Caldwell. He came and talked to all the student leaders in a lunch-type setting, and then I've also met with Mayor Caldwell on two separate occasions, privately in his office, just telling him some of the concerns that we have and asking what we can do as students to be more engaged within the local community.
Having, if I could, Mr. Chair, having the Speaker and the President of the Senate in that area, I would think might be very useful to have maybe a private meeting with the other, you know, student body presidents and presidencies. I just think, you know, you're a very powerful voice, and I'd love to see, you know, more of that engaged. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I will try to work on that. So I appreciate that. Any other questions?
Any other questions? I think tomatoes with Slater would also be healthier.
But I'll keep that in mind. Thank you
just
so much.
My input.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Regents. It's nice to see you again. Thank you for all of the support from you. Was that yesterday already? Wow. Geez. At President Tumenez's inauguration, it was an incredible time. And it was very apparent there that UVU is an incredible institution. I'm just going to start off by reading just a memo that we sent out. I believe all the Regents received it or will receive it. As far as the student support for the tuition increase. As outlined in Regents Policy R510, tuition, UVU administration has consulted with UVUSA and held a truth in tuition hearing during the development of UVU's proposed 2019-2020 tuition increase. The room was filled to capacity with students and other members of the UVU community. Those students and other hearing attendees engaged in a robust discussion, asked meaningful questions, and shared personal stories concerning the affordability of UVU. Students who attended the hearing voiced concerns about keeping tuition at an affordable rate, while also being able to fund the resources necessary in order to better serve our student population, especially in matters concerning mental health. As the proposed increase falls below what was initially broadcast to the campus community, UVUSA feels confident that administration has listened to the student voice and is in full support of UVU's efforts to enhance student mental health services. With that message, our students spent hours and hours and hours and even more hours discussing student fees. I was more than proud of our students. We put some of our student fee stewards in the hot seat, and they made comments that the questions that were asked were insightful and well thought out. So I was very proud about that. After all of the hours and meetings and discussions, our students proposed a $4 increase to the student fees. And even in our student mental health, student health services portion, from our own agency, the student health services didn't even present, but we wanted to fund a mental health therapist, a mental health professional, because we felt like it was time. We wanted to make that step, so we funded $1.67, especially in that regard, to pay for a mental health therapist. So We are very excited, but also with that funding, we are looking into ways that we can creatively tackle mental health as well in initiatives and other programs that student government can sponsor and run through a campus-wide campaign. So I'd welcome any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
Great. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Right.
Sure. My question is, how do you think we can better in future years increase the participation in the truth and taxation meetings? Because I've seen some of the numbers of the students who have attended,
yeah,
and obviously want to see as many come out and share their opinions as possible. What would you do in future years to drive attendance?
Great question. So, like I mentioned, our room was filled to capacity. I'd say we had 70, 80 people there, and it was mostly students. We were really excited about that. I think, you know, kind of answering the question from earlier and yours as well, people's perception is often their reality. So if they're perceiving that we're not giving them the opportunity to voice their opinion, or they don't have a stage to speak, they're going to have those same concerns that they're not being heard, when we're in reality we're not doing a good job communicating that opportunity to them. From what I've learned, the little that I've learned over the last year, students want to be heard. We just have to do a better job of giving that message and making sure it's received.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Regent Larson's up. Oh, we have one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So thank you. I'll just repeat what they say. Thank you for having us here today. We're excited to be able to share a little bit. And a lot of what I have to say, President Kaka kind of already stole from me. So I echo a lot of what she said. But it was a great experience to be able to work with President Kaka in being able to have a critical part in the tuition and fees discussion and proposals. And I guess sharing more about what that looks like and who sits on that, there's that tuition review committee that met with President Kaka, and it was, I think we met about four times. We had an overall student government meeting that every member of student government had the opportunity to hear about the proposals and hear what the plans were for that, and to have the opportunity to ask questions through that as well. And so besides that, we had our truth and tuition, which was very successful. We feel this year had about 100 people there, and it's probably because we brought pizza. So that's probably an answer to your question, is, you know, bring the pizza and the students will come. But it also created a really good dialogue where President Kaka and myself were able to answer questions that they had. You know, why is it this way, or why is it that way, and you know, just to echo what was already said, is that you know, as soon as students understand the context, understand the reasons why tuition and fees are coming, there's a small percentage that are opposed, I would say. And besides that, speaking to our student fee process, is it's a board entirely of students, with one VP of Student Affairs, James Morales, being voting members. And so I think that speaks to Utah State's extreme desire to want the student input in all of the decisions. And as well, I just wanted to share a bit about this last year within USA and some initiatives that we've been able to work on. We have focused this year primarily on campus safety. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir for what reasons. That's something that's constantly on the student mind, campus safety. We've heard a lot about mental health today. that's been a huge part. We've been able to put together videos to be able to show to our student bodies. We've been able to, specifically on consent, we've been able to put together a mental health week within all of the organizations, all of the universities across the state. And I think that really speaks to the power of this body as USA, is that, you know, you have these 11 students that make up USA meet together every month and talk about the issues and talk about what students want and what students feel and what initiatives we can take to be able to best move forward to improve our universities in the state. And with that, again, we just love to thank you for the time that you've given us here today to be able to present how the students feel, and really, at the end of the day, you know, these universities are for the students, and I love to see how much care that you guys have for those students. So, any questions?
Thank you very much. Questions? Okay, we appreciate it. Now, Regent Larson will finish up here.
Thank you so much. Just so you guys know, Jaron is the USA Legislative Vice President, and so thank you for giving them an update on the USA initiatives this past year. For sake of time, in all of your emails you received, there was a letter from the Utah Student Association, and then attached in that letter is individual letters from each institutional president outlining what they've said today, and then also for those presidents that couldn't be here, from Dixie State University, Southern Utah University, and from the University of Utah. Those letters are outlined in there as well with their rationale, but they all strongly approve their tuition and student fee increases, and kind of give you a little background for that. So if you have any questions for me, for any of those institutions, I'd be happy to answer them. But seriously, thank you all so much for including your students in this process. As a student that pays tuition, it is incredibly important for me to know that my voice is heard on my campus, and it's incredibly important that our student body presidents and the 184,000 students that we represent, that their voice is heard. So seriously, thank you so much to all of you.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate that. We'll now open it up to any members of the public. We're in a public meeting, and if we have any anyone present that wants to add any further comment, we'd make the podium available to you. Anybody? All right,
we had free pizza.
Yeah, I guess that's the we've got nuts and yogurt-covered stuff over here. All right, so before we adjourn, we'd like to take just a few minutes. Any further thoughts from any of the regents?
Yes. Just one clarification and then one other thing.
Yeah.
But I just wondered if, I kind of had a question after President Kaka got done about the technical information she gave us about the technical education, and she cleared it up for me, and I thought it might be beneficial if she cleared it up for everybody else, and then I just have one other thing after her.
Can I just point of order?
Yeah.
You should
have
a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, we got a motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. All right. President Cockett.
Oh.
So the question that Regent Tyre asked me was, would our costs of delivering CTE programs be considerably different from the system of tech colleges and with this lowering of tuition? Well, the way I should have explained that, yes, there are some increased services that we will give these students by virtue of being on our campuses, but the Utah system of tech colleges, for their cost, receive 90% of the total cost from the legislature, and tuition covers 10%. So in our system, using those rough numbers that Kimberly shared with us, we have about 50% legislative support to the cost. So 50% of the cost is shared in tuition. The money that we received or were awarded from the legislature will then raise the legislative support to that 90% level, and then our tuition can be dropped so that that covers 10%. So we will then be in line with the tech colleges of that 90-10 legislative support tuition. So thanks for asking for that clarification.
Yes, President Heflin.
I was just going to add, so that's similar to what our School of Applied Technology, that's how the tuition structure is in our School of Applied Technology. So to the extent that we have USHE institutions that are delivering non-credit School of Applied Technology-like courses, that's the tuition adjustment that we should be getting.
Yeah, I just wanted everybody to understand that so we didn't think that it really, I mean, it's still, there's a cost to educating these students no matter where they go, and just to realize, anyway, hopefully that cleared it up. It did for me, so.
Well, one of the other things that I realized or learned was the tech colleges, and Denise, again, you might correct me if I'm wrong, the tech colleges get 100% of their approved salary compensation from the state, whereas we're receiving only 75% of that and are expected to raise the rest through tuition. So again, we're not being treated quite the same.
My one other thing.
Yes, go ahead.
Just my one other thing. As I've listened to a lot of these presentations, sorry, I've just had a weird voice the last little bit, but I've heard so many times I'm saying, well, when we had our presentation, we said that it was going to be between 1 and 3% or 1 and 5%. And I just think it would be so beneficial is we know this, you know when the legislative session is going to be at the beginning of the year. I think it would just be really important for us to hold our meeting at a time when these presentations could go out with the actual numbers. And even if it meant pushing the meeting a few weeks, I mean, I know that messes everybody up, but I just think it's more fair to the people we're dealing with to have them know numbers and not ranges. I really appreciated this process. I really appreciated this. I think this is real beneficial, but I think that's one of the problems we've had this year.
I suspect one of the things we probably need to do is just look at the whole calendar, because it gets back to this issue of them getting it published and students making decisions
from them how long this process actually takes. When the legislative session ends, and then plan this meeting, because I think we've done the public, I think, a disservice and those involved by not being able to present for them actual numbers.
Do you have any reaction to that?
From a timing perspective, this is actually
With respect to the timing, the legislative session actually was pushed back a week from where it used to be. This meeting has been subsequently pushed back. Now, one of the things that the regents could consider, but it does have a financial impact on the institutions, is delaying the tuition increase until fall semester. But it has a dramatic financial impact on that. But in terms of decision making and putting it into the system and putting it into the timing becomes very much a challenge for the institutions, having been on the institution side. There's a lot of programming that has to go into place. There's a lot of the materials on the web. And so it does. That timeline with May semester essentially being your first summer courses that get applied to that, you don't leave a lot of time for the institutions to implement.
I might ask if any of the presidents have any response to the question. Yeah, President Mortensen.
There we go. So our May summer term starts May 13th. Students are planning to register for classes starting on Monday. Depending on the actions that you all take tomorrow, we'll set the tuition for that so they know what they're paying when they register. So I felt it being in this role for the first time, I'm going, why is this so crazy? But I'm not, I think it's worth looking at, but it is kind of feels like we're caught between a rock and a hard spot a little bit, and I do think it limits some of the the transparency that we can have with the public when we have to present a range because we don't know what the legislative budget is going to be. And we try to hedge to be able to provide for the needs, not knowing if there's going to be a skinny budget or not till the last day of the session. And yeah, it's a good question, but it's challenging.
Just a thought I had. I'm wondering if there could be meetings before the legislative session, which I think there are, but maybe if you do have the range and engage the students and the, you know, the proponents of that early and kind of go in mass and understand that, you know, they're playing an important role in advocating to keep tuition low. And then, you know, right after the session, you could do something as a follow-up. But I'm just wondering if we could do more kind of collectively, not in, you know, not so much as silos, but, you know, working together in organizing the great strength of our students in understanding that we're all in this together. I don't know, just a thought.
It's a very interesting thought, yeah. Mm-hmm. President Wyatt, did you have a comment?
So this whole thing is crazy for us because we get the budget from the legislature 2 weeks ago. Our faculty are gone in a month, and we have to have a full budget ready that starts on July 1st. So it's such a condensed challenge. But we could have probably had our truth and tuition hearings last week, but then they wouldn't have gotten to you in time for the meeting, or it would have pushed the commissioner's office. But we could have had our truth and tuition hearings last week after the session ended. So if you really wanted us to try to get a definite number, we could have done that a week ago. You just have to be willing to get the...
Probably.
It's the fourth Monday, so just the way the calendar worked this year, it was like the latest it could possibly be. Yeah.
I agree that it would be nice to have the scheduled out a little differently, but I think the reality is our presidents are doing the very best they can. I guess the one thing that in my mind at least is a mitigating factor is that given the hearings that have been held with a range which far exceeded where our presidents came in, there did not seem to be a lot of resistance. I know when Regent Wright says, well, how do you get a better turnout? I'm appreciative of all the efforts that our presidents are making. But one way would be to have tuition that's not acceptable, and you would have a huge turnout. And so I guess in my mind, as I try and evaluate that, the fact that our student body and the readouts we're getting from the hearings seem to be supportive for me, it helps me feel like the process, while not ideal, is maybe perhaps the best we can do. But I guess I would just ask one question. As we look to tomorrow, and having sat through these meetings today, I would like to make sure that I know what my role is. Because, you know, I know in the past we've had information come from the presidents and the institutions. It fell largely under an umbrella of a tier one and a few presidents who needed to go to a tier two. And they more justified that than perhaps what we didn't dig into a lot of detail on Tier 1. But as you sit here today and as I think about the role of a regent, I think it's not just saying, is tuition too high? Because I can always say, and I'm glad President White is there, but it'd always be nice to say zero tuition. But I think the role is much more challenging to say, is the tuition being well invested for the benefit of our students and the future of these institutions? And so it's not just can we support the 2.5 or the 3 or whatever it might be, but is are we seeing the results of those investments, and are those the investments that I'm willing to vote as a regent are prudent? And because it is tough when certain constituencies would say tuition's too high given legislative funding in 1 year or not in another year. But so help me understand. I mean, you know, because we are under pressure. I think the regents are right in saying, you know, we have people that would say that we should be at zero today, given the investment from the legislature. And yet, in my mind, that would be fine in a static world. But when we have institutions who are growing in stature on the national stage and have to continue to invest to do that. And institutions who are trying to grow to at a high quality to respond to an additional 50 or 60,000 students, that takes investment. And so who are we, which way are we facing when we're trying to vote tomorrow? Because, you know, you can, to somebody who always says it should be zero, there's no defense. Other than saying our fiduciary responsibility is to look at the system in its ability to service this state in 10 years or 5 years or whatever. And so that may be uncomfortable for somebody that feels it should be zero, but I don't see a lot of things that I would say, that is pure wanton waste. What are we doing? It's not, that's not what I'm coming away with.
Yeah, well, you are looking at both, I think, Regent Campbell, and I'll just quote to you again from kind of what you set out, and this is really your role, is to ensure that all Utahns can affordably access a quality post-secondary education. So it's access and quality. So good luck. No, but I think that's what the presidents have been wrestling with as well, as we've heard today, and I shouldn't be flippant, but it is a tough balance, because someone can always say it's too high. Someone can always say, well, we needed more. And they're both right, probably.
I look at Dr. Henry's slides at the beginning,
yeah,
and debt, and mm-hmm, number throughput, and cost per degree. Or, you know, you can't manage the world only looking forward. You have to kind of look at the trend line of how, you know, what is happening, what got us here. And so, anyway. Thank you. I mean, I know that there will probably be...
Well, and I think we also heard some really compelling discussion today about issues like mental health and campus safety and things that just have to be addressed. I don't think we... So... Yes?
I just think there's something else that we consider, is that each of these institutions have a board of trustees that have looked at all this, too, and we... It's difficult for us to put us in a situation where we say that we're not going to support boards of trustees, too. I mean, I just think it's an interesting situation, because, I mean, we've given boards of trustees lots, and the legislature's given them lots of things that they're responsible, but this is one thing that they've all approved, too.
I mean, I tell you, if any pause all day long, it was probably at UVU. And, you know, with a 1.7% proposed tuition increase, given the growth and the... I actually find myself saying, is that enough? But I think that gets to your point about trustees. And, I mean, to some extent, you have to place trust in people who are closest to the ground, and then just make sure that we're asking the kinds of questions that are trying to unearth, you know, if you thought about this... carefully. And yes, Regent Clyde.
Well, I just feel like the process has been a good process. It's a little bit short on time, and it would be great if we had another 2 or 3 weeks, but I think we just have to stick with what we do and do the best we can. I think we've gone through opportunity for people to have public input, both at the various institutions. I think our students have had a chance to review it. I think the trustees, I know that Pat and I last Friday spent the day with the trustees and listened to what they had, and they had quite a discussion about fees and stuff like that. I know many of you have gone to the trustee meetings that you were involved with at the different institutions. We've had a nice day today. I feel like the presenters today have justified what they've done. I feel very comfortable with where it's at and where we should be. I'm going to vote for the recommended changes. So that's how I feel about it. I think it's been a good process.
So your question is really a good one. It was actually raised by at least one of our trustees. I think getting into it, though, I would like to go back and reinforce what Regent Campbell said about the fact that we proposed a 2-5% because we really didn't know what the legislature was going to do, and yet we knew we needed more resources. And the fact that our students, a lot of students came out and as President Reynolds said, it was a very, very good discussion. And yet, they were ready to support a 5% increase if that's what was needed. But they also made it really clear the kind of pain that that would create for them, the kind of pain really that that increases do create. And so it turned out that that in terms of the way in which performance was defined for us, we determined that we would have the resources that we needed for this coming year at least, without having to go up even to the 2%. And we're really mindful. We think a lot about not just the 40,000 who were there, but the 200,000 adults, 25 to 65 in our service area, actually almost 300,000, 18 to 65 in our service area that don't have a meaningful post-high school credential. And we know how difficult it is for them. We know all of the students at the university where you've got, you know, both a husband and wife who are enrolled, and they've got children, and they're handing them back and forth, and they're both working part-time jobs, and they're just, you know, eking out an existence trying to make this work. So we just decided that we really wanted to make it as easy for them as we could, and that we could get through another year without going more than 1.7. But it's a great question. And the other part of it, and Linda Macon shared with us this strategy, really, where she said, you know, this year we can do it, so let's do it. Next year, maybe the state situation won't be the same, and we'll need to increase it 5%. Let's retain that capacity to be able to increase it in a year where the state resources might not be there. And so for us, that was an important part of the logic as well. You know, let's save that capacity and use it when we have to.
I will tell you that the Council of Presidents wondered what would happen here. And so we actually discussed, you know, should we all ask for 10%, assuming that there would be a desire to cut us. But I think what you saw, I mean, we're down there in, you know, 0.2 percentage, tenths of percentages on these increases, because I don't see anything that seemed too extravagant. I mean, I think that you folks would have concerns if one of us or some of us came in with the 10%. I think you would. And I think the reason that you're not feeling like there's any slack there is I think we did a really tough look at it. And I was just thinking there were three ideas that came forward that you did not see, because the students let us know that it didn't work for them. We have to also trust that our students are engaged. The three that didn't move forward, I mentioned one, subsidized childcare. There was another group of students that wanted some kind of effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions on our campuses. Again, the students said, you know what, that's not helping us with our education. And then the third is one that I mentioned, a differential tuition request that, again, some of the students came forward and said, that's not adding value to my degree. So my observation is this process has worked really well. But as we said, there will always be people that say, don't raise my tuition. We had a student that at our hearing that said, I want to talk about the athletic fee. Well, you know, that wasn't something we were requesting. We haven't requested an increase in that for over 5 years. But the answer was, you need to get engaged. Become part of the student fee board, and you will be able to do that. So I think that's the message also, as we heard from our student leaders. If, you know, you can complain, but make sure you're informed and take the advantage, the opportunity to get engaged.
Thank you very much. Could I just go back to Teresa's question for a moment about timing and just ask theoretically, if we didn't change the timing this year, but if you had enough notice to know that in future years that we would actually implement tuition increases in the fall semester as opposed to summer, would that, because I do think, I think you'd have a better process if you did have certainty with respect to what the legislature is doing. Is there some way we could transition to that that would make sense to everybody?
Mr. Chairman, I totally in support of that. The problem is we have a budget year that starts July 1. And because of our budget processes, they have to be processes that allow everyone to be engaged, which means that the only way to approve a budget for next year means that we have to have tuition set and everything else together by about right now anyway, so that we can get it done before faculty leave and everybody leaves for the summer. So the catch is more the July 1 budget year than it is anything else for us. If you wanted to try to find something, though, we had to get our tuition proposals in by the day after the legislative session. That's when it was due to the commissioner's office. So perhaps over the next weeks or months or whatever, you could work with the commissioner's office to see if there's a way that we can, and with other regions, to see if that could be shortened. We could walk in here the day before. We could send out the day before the meeting what our proposals are, and that would allow us to have more definite.
If we gave everybody kind of a similar template for what we're going to see, and then allow some room for a few slides to, you know, anything else you'd like to tack onto it, but so that it minimized the work of the commissioner's staff in getting ready for this meeting, maybe we just think about how we might be able to shorten this window a little bit, so that. Anyway, I think it's just worth thinking about, because I think we would have a better process.
I'll tell you, we don't like submitting our proposals the day after the session.
Yeah.
That's really tight for us, too. It's. We'd love to have a few more days, have a hearing.
Yeah.
I could just react to that, too. It was very tight, and again, a lot of it was because of the timing of just the way it worked out with the calendar with the legislative session. Now, if Regents, you know, we work really hard because your instructions to us as staff is to provide you the agenda a week in advance. And so everything is kind of backed, you know, it's around that. Now, if you were satisfied with getting the material a couple days ahead, but again, we also don't want to, you know, there's the public aspect of it too, that, you know, it's out there publicly. And so anyway, these are things we'll definitely can take a look at, see if there's a way we can refine this. But those are kind of the realities that are around us.
I just know, maybe I remembered wrong, but I just thought one institution said, well, you know, our public meeting said it could be 1-5%. That is like a huge difference to me. Maybe it's not to anybody else, but I think 1-5%. And so you're really getting somebody's opinion on 1-5%, unless you go into it saying it won't be more than this much. Maybe that's, I don't know. Anyway, I just think that's a hard thing. I'm thinking about the public. I'm thinking about the students that go in and they're saying, you know, this might.
We actually did do our truth in tuition last week after we knew, so that we could be a little more precise. This is close to almost working really well. I mean, it's really close. It's just the complicated sync up of everything. And maybe I really want to compliment all of you on the care and the detail at which you're looking and asking questions and paying attention to the detail of what we're doing and why we're doing it, particularly how we're using the resources and what outputs we're getting for it. That seems really strong. So I think we're almost there in terms of the right timing, close, a couple of tweaks. The other thing I would say is one of the most interesting things to me, and certainly listening to other institutions' student leaders, and this is, I believe, true at the U as well, the more people are informed and engaged, the more supportive they are, because what they see is how incredibly affordable higher ed is in this state relative to others, and the kinds, they know the kinds of experiences they're having. So maybe the implications for all of us are how we get more people more engaged in this conversation, broader student engagement, broader public engagement. It's very interesting to me to listen to everyone's students talk about the process and their level of knowledge and engagement and their level of support.
Yes.
Complicating factor, and that is that the boards of trustees also need to weigh in. And so between the end of the session, we basically have 2 weeks before this meeting to hold all of the truth and tuition hearings, have meaningful conversations with the students, then take that feedback to boards of trustees, then to bring that in that turnaround time. We're talking very limited turnaround time with the commissioner's office. And so, yeah, we could probably do some streamlining. We've already got forms in place that we're asking the institutions to provide. We give as much flexibility as we possibly can. We, in terms of the end of the session, our staff is the one that gets the information out to the institutions, and we do it in less than 12 hours after the session. This year was a little bit of a challenge, but we've tried to condense as much as we can on the side of the commissioner's office. And I would just urge caution about trying to shorten that time on your own staff. Because of the audit, because of the call out in terms of analysis and capability to review the proposals, even if we just look at it and say, hey, this seems reasonable, there are some times that we have to push back at the institutions to get some additional clarity. Questions about what does it mean to have critical student success initiatives? What does that look like? And if we have no time, then coming to this board meeting, it puts us at a disadvantage in terms of presenting to you as staff. So that's the only caution. So the trustees need time, we need time, and then the end of the session, as long as we continue to try and guess what the legislature is going to give us, and this year was an abnormal year with the fact that they made the decision the day the session basically ended. So we didn't have any really lead time. They played it close to the vest. In normal circumstances, we have a little bit more time with respect to this process. But again, those trustee meetings that need to happen between the time that session ends and for them to take action or think about it, it doesn't leave a lot of time for analysis on our side. So,
Regent Dada? Yeah.
Just one thing, Chairman, if we could have tomorrow, I think there is a presentation on total fees or increase in fees that is going to be there. Is it possible to get data on what is the total increase per student, full-time student, legislative plus tuition increase plus fees? If we could have that, that'll, you know, right now we are getting information in.
Two comments. One being that I am all for students getting more clarity. Let's make that clear. I'm all for students knowing exactly what the tuition increase would be. But you just have to also keep in mind spring break for most of these institutions also lie in those 2 weeks. But going back to President Watkins' comment and Regent Jones's comment, at UVU's Truth and Tuition hearing, which I attended with Nina, there was a student who, after hearing all about UVU's tuition and the clarity that it brought, actually asked, came up and said, what can I do and who can I contact and how do I get engaged in the legislative process? So it's amazing, the more clarity we can provide, or at least bringing people in, to President Watkins' point, not only will you get students engaged to know where their dollars are going and to be more supportive of the institution, they're also more supportive in the sense of how can I help outwardly, and engaging legislative members on the process as well. So I think that that's something to also keep in mind. Moving forward.
It seems like this process this year, thanks to the changes that the State Board of Regents made last year to Tier 1 and Tier 2, is a lot better, and I like what President Watkins said. It's so much closer to where it needs to be. I know that was my first year as a regent, and it was uncomfortable knowing that it was a one-size-fits-all. Some institutions didn't need it, but if you didn't give it to one, then you were stuck, you know, not giving it to any. But this process seems better. The one challenge we seem to have is the legislative process being the variable. What if we started the truth in tuition earlier in the fall, which gives everybody more time, the trustees have time, and we approve what we approve before the legislative session? Then if the legislature steps up in the way that they did this year, then it's just a reduction of whatever we've already approved, and we move forward. It seems like it's easier to game the system. I know no one here would ever do that, but to wait and see what the legislature does and then make the political calculus on what can happen after. I'd rather see it happen before. Then the legislature also becomes more of our partner, because we can go up then and advocate for what we've already approved with the presidents and with the institutions and with the students, most importantly. And they can come up, as Jaquel said, as our student regent said, so that we can work together to create the best outcome. So maybe it's a question of just going a little early.
We've had some. I'm wondering if we ought to just ask the commissioner and your staff to work with the council presidents to kind of think through this, look at the calendar, think about the experience that each of the institutions have had, and ask and take all of these ideas into consideration and talk about how we might improve the process, the chronology of all of this.
We could certainly do that, Mr. Chair, and then report back to you as a meeting in the near future. So,
because I think we're almost there.
I've been taking notes and comments.
Okay. Yeah. Ah.
The participation piece. Right.
I see. Yeah.
I think you're going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kimberly.
Okay.
For each institution individual.
Yeah, that came up this morning, and Kimberly agreed to provide that information tomorrow morning.
Okay. This has been a long day, a lot of sitting, and unless there's other business.
Can I just give kind of the announcement for tomorrow morning? So tomorrow morning, Regents will be meeting with the Salt Lake Community College Board of Trustees. Will be here in this building, just around the corner, in conference room C and D at 8 a.m. sharp, and we'll have breakfast with them, and then we'll meet here in this room for 30-minute discussion is what's scheduled. Could go longer, but 30 minutes for discussion and to kind of coalesce whatever last thoughts there are on tuition before you need to make motions and adopt it in committee of the whole in the afternoon.
Thank you. Is there any other business today? If not, could we have a motion to adjourn? Moved, seconded. All in favor, say aye. Thank you very much.